Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:37 British Summer Time. Today is August 4th. Today was another day in which we had concerted selling pressure, which intensified into the close on Wall Street. Let's first have a review of what exactly happened today. In Asia this morning, the Nikkei was up a tad. The Hang Seng was down about half of a 1%. The A-share market in China was up a little bit. The ASX in Australia was down just over 1%. In the ASEAN region, the Indonesian market hasn't had much of a reaction yet. That's unlikely to last at this, given the extent of the selling pressure that we've had everywhere else. It's unlikely that we're going to see some of these better performing ASEAN markets, such as Indonesia or the Philippines or Malaysia, remaining immune from the current bout of selling pressure. The Taiwanese and Singaporean markets were also weaker in here today. And Singapore has now posted a failed upside break out of this little 6-month range. In Europe, just about all markets were down in excess of 3%. The OMX in Sweden down over 4%. The Italian index down over 5%. And in the Americas, Brazil was down over 5%. Mexico down over 3%. Canada down over 3%. The Nasdaq down over 5%. The Nasdaq 100 has given up almost 200 points in the last week alone, and is currently brushing the 2200 level. The S&P has completed a Type 3 top. It was down 4.78% in here today, and it's down to 1200 points. The Dow Jones was also down over 4%. In the commodities sector, silver, having been as high as 42.29 earlier today, closed out the day down over $3. The gold market, having been as high as 1681 today, which was a new high, it actually formed a key day reversal and is closing out the day in the region of $1,647. Both platinum and palladium also fell aggressively in here today. Palladium was down 47, platinum down 58. The selling pressure was not confined to the precious metals. We had selling in the industrial commodities and in food commodities as well. The corn market was down 11, soybeans was down 27. So even though they were limit up a couple of days ago, they've given up much of their advance in the last 2 days. Oil today was down $5.63 on the West Texas Intermediate. The government bond sector has been very strong. US Treasuries were stronger by almost 3 full points on the 30-year, 1 1/3 for the 10-year. German Bunds were stronger by almost a full point. UK gilts were stronger by about a half a point, but they hit a new high for the last 3 or 4 years. The US dollar has also rallied in here. So it was stronger today by over 2 cents against the euro, by 1 2/3 cents against the pound, almost 3 cents against the Australian dollar, almost 2 cents against the Canadian dollar. We're seeing that safe havens are perceived safe havens such as the US dollar and such as the treasury markets or sovereign debt markets in the USA, in Germany, in the UK, and just about everywhere else that's not connected to the periphery of Europe are doing exceedingly well in this environment. If we look at weekly charts, we've seen that a large number of these markets have completed Type 3 tops. A large number of markets have taken out their 200-day moving averages. The best that can be said is that they are becoming oversold in the short term, but given the fact that they've completed medium-term top formations, that is not enough on its own to contain the current selling pressure. The TED spread which was a very useful indicator back in 2008, has been relatively quiescent. That's primarily because this problem is largely a made-in-Europe issue. Most politicians are on holiday. The ECB's meeting today didn't instill confidence in the markets. They're still talking about raising interest rates, and that is reflects a certain unreality in Frankfurt with where the markets are going. The strength in the government bond markets, the strength of the US dollar, and the weakness of just about everything else suggests that investors are increasingly betting on what we have considered a worst-case scenario. Now, our worst-case scenario for the last few months has been a short, sharp bear market. And that is exactly what appears to be going on right now. Now, we are starting to see that even AAA-rated corporates in Europe are seeing their spreads starting to widen out. That can be considered a mispricing of assets. Every sharp pullback, like we're seeing right now, produces a mispricing of assets. This is a made-in-Europe problem. The problem is primarily in Europe. The stagflationary environment that you have in the US isn't really anything new. The deflationary environment that you have on much of the periphery of Europe, particularly in places like Greece, Ireland, and Portugal, isn't something that's going to be corrected in the short term. The widening of sovereign spreads in Italy and Spain is a worst-case scenario in terms of what the EU had been hoping for. They had been hoping that all of their piecemeal actions over the last 3 years would contain the selling pressure on Spanish and Italian bonds, and that has so far failed. The ECB would need to intervene heavily in both Spanish and Italian bonds to help correct this situation. And so far, it has not demonstrated that it's willing to do that just yet. There would appear to be a certain inevitability about ECB action to support those bond markets. They may have made the judgment call that they haven't gone far enough just yet. But for the moment, we're seeing selling pressure. There's no evidence that it's over. We haven't had any concerted efforts by monetary policy makers to support markets, and that is part of the reason that we're seeing concerted selling pressure that intensified throughout today. Tomorrow's unlikely to be a good day for stock market investors in Asia. But Asia isn't where the problem is. This problem is primarily in Europe, and the USA has its own problems. This is not a problem for the vast majority of Asia. If we get slower global GDP growth, that will obviously have a knock-on effect. But Asia is likely to be the area which bounces back first. If we do see a deeper pullback and consolidation on some of those Asian markets, it's going to provide an excellent buying opportunity for the medium to long-term investor. But at present, what we're seeing is concerted selling pressure across European and US stock markets, and it's primarily focused in the financial services sector, and particularly banks. There are a relatively large number of Italian, German, and French banks that are heavily exposed to the debt of the European periphery. The ECB has so far been reluctant to let any bank become go bankrupt in the last 3 years. Their commitment to that policy is most likely going to be tested in the coming weeks and months, because we're getting to a point with some of those European bank shares that they're either going to be rescued or they are not going to exist for very much longer, such has been the scale of the acceleration to the downside. Tactically, the best short-term trading solution would be to be short of stock markets in here, and I opened a short in the Nasdaq yesterday. I closed out my cotton long because I was worried about the volatility that may hit that market, even though I still believe that the market is probably in a bottoming phase. And I was stopped out of my silver in here. Now, gold and silver were beneficiaries. Gold in particular was a beneficiary of this crisis. But gold has encountered at least short-term selling pressure in here. Now, this hasn't been a large Q reversal, but if it gets follow-through tomorrow, the chances are that gold has probably hit a peak of medium-term significance. It could be a while before we see gold getting back up to today's highs if we see follow-through to the downside tomorrow. Gold remains in a secular bull market. Broadly speaking, an environment with low interest rates and a declining faith in fiat currencies is good news for gold. Gold has put in a positive performance every year for the last 10 years, and it's unlikely that 2011 is going to be any different. But it is overbought in the very short term. Some consolidation of recent gains is a likely scenario, but the chances that this is the peak in big capital letters for gold, I think, are quite unlikely. The US dollar is also very oversold in these conditions. It had fallen aggressively against a number of currencies up until the last couple of weeks, and it's certainly steadied in here today. The US dollar has been viewed as a safe haven during periods of uncertainty for quite some time, and this is proving no different. The strength in government bonds is pricing in really a rather dismal economic future for the global economy. I don't personally believe that that is particularly warranted. This crisis in Europe, it has been slow burn, it has been intensifying, it's going to come to a resolution at some point in the next couple of weeks and probably months. The likelihood that the number of countries sharing the euro is going to get smaller in the next year or two has increased. I do notice that here in Ireland, we're starting to see that people in the media are talking about a two-tier Europe, and while I think that that is, or a two-tier currency, I don't believe that that is a realistic possibility. But the very fact that people are starting to talk about it, probably long after they started thinking about it, does suggest that faith in the currency is certainly beginning to waver in here. Now, one of the ECB's core ambitions and indeed policies is to protect the integrity of the currency union. Since that's the case, we can expect that they will intervene in the Spanish and Italian government bond markets at some point, but they haven't demonstrated that they're ready to do that just yet. And I think that is what the markets are waiting for, that they're waiting for the ECB to move into action, and it hasn't done that yet. Until it does, this selling pressure can continue. When we look at something like the S&P, it's broken down from its top formation. It's below its 200-day moving average. At this point, it's either going to continue lower or it's going to range below the top in a first step below the top. That's what it did in 2007 and 8. It formed this ranging top formation, broke down from it, ranged for a while, and then extended the decline. So we can't rule out the fact that it could steady in this area, and particularly if we see some action from central banks. But for the moment, there's no evidence that it's about to do that. And this is bear market type action. And bear market action is characterized by sharp declines and deteriorating sentiment. We're going to start to see some exceedingly bearish forecasts, and they, more importantly, are going to be given credence, because currently that is what is being reflected by the stock market action. That doesn't necessarily mean that those forecasts need come true. And the Asian economies in particular remain the world's growth engine, and this isn't going to particularly affect them. Asia is not particularly leveraged to the European debt crisis. And while they are going to suffer from contagion in this type of environment, they're also likely to bounce back first. And that's certainly something to bear in mind, because this is an opportunity for those who want to short the market in the short term. But every crisis throws up excellent investment opportunities for medium to long-term investors, and it looks like we're going to see plenty of those in the next weeks and months. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I wish all the best to all of you.